Well, welcome to week number two of Becoming a Titus II Woman. And last week we went a bit in depth. I hope you guys weren't dying. but I shared a lot about the overview of discipleship, the tragedies in the church when we don't live out this kind of ministry with one another. And so today we're going to be talking about three areas to mature in. Hopefully you were able to read chapter two and look over the addendum A, which was just optional, just something for you to read over. You didn't have to do anything with it necessarily. But today we're going to talk about what makes discipleship more than just a chat time, maybe about diaper rash or complaining about life struggles. You know, we can get into ruts in our conversations with one another where they don't go any further than that. And so that's where this chapter really helps us hone in on not only our formal like discipleship with a younger woman or an older woman, but just our conversations around the church, how we're talking to our daughters and raising them. And it helps us see how to have profitable and meaningful conversations with one another. So I know this is one of your homework questions, so we'll just start with it. But Martha Peace gives us three guiding areas from the Titus 2 passage. What were those three things, the point of this chapter? Doctrine?
Character and ministry.
That's right. So those are the three things we're going to hit on. And we're going to go over that for a little bit. Then we're going to go over the questions from the book, and then we're going to go over the extra questions that you have every week for deeper application. And as some of the ladies told me this morning, these are harder than the ones in the book. And we're like, yeah, that's the point. We thought you need a little bit more. Remember, you have 2 weeks, so you need a little bit more than the 6 basic questions. We like to get in there, you know, and dig out our own hearts, and we wanted to share that joy with all of you. So the first thing that Martha Peace describes for us from that she has gleaned out of the Titus 2 passage on older and younger women is doctrine. And if you look open your Bibles to Titus, we're going to be talking about chapter 2. Pretty much every week come, like, open your book to the chapter, open your Bible to Titus, and have your notebook out. Lucy, would you mind reading chapter 2, verse 1 for us? Okay, so that is where you can see we get the idea that we need to be speaking doctrine to one another. And what is doctrine? Well, doctrine is things like describing the character of God, learning his ways, understanding his commands. And Nancy Woolgamuth says that doctrine is the content of what we believe and the understanding of reality that shapes our faith. So we have to understand truths about God and through his grace, come to understand the truth of it to be saved at the get-go. But then also, if you look down at the bottom of verse 10, you will see that we are encouraged to adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. That adorn is like the idea of putting on a garment, to put on the doctrine of God our Savior. And why? Look up at verse 5, that the word of God may not be reviled or may not be blasphemed. We don't want to cause anyone to stumble because we say we're a Christian and we don't live it. So we have to know what we believe and we have to live it, or else we don't really believe it, right? So we have to understand what is our doctrine. We need to adorn it, wear it, show it, shine it as a light to the world so that his word is not blasphemed or reviled. So it's important to understand what are the key doctrines? What is it that I should know? And if you're like me, you can look back at the history of your life and say, well, I really studied that doctrine at that point, and I was able to learn that at that point, and somewhere along the way I picked up this, you know, and it's kind of the Lord one by one adds it to you. It'd be really hard to just know all that and be like confident from day one. It's a process of learning your whole life, and in the Lord's timing, he teaches you these things, sanctifies you in your character, allows you to have ministry within the church, etc. So we have to even be patient with the timing of God's work on us and when he teaches us certain things. like we said last week, not everyone can go to Bible school. Not everyone can have a Bible degree. But as useful as that is, we are still all called to be constantly learning in our homes, at church, with each other, in our conversations, etc. So I wrote these key doctrines on the board for you, and I remember the first time I saw these words being like, what? What are these words? I don't even know. I mean, I can figure out some of them. These are the really fancy words. Ology would be the study of. But I pulled out MacArthur's book on systematic theology called Biblical Doctrine. So this has got everything all organized. But you know what? You've already learned a lot of this. You were taught some of this before you were saved to help you come to the realization that you needed Christ in the first place. And then as you're in the church and you're listening to the expository preaching, you're learning more stuff. You might go to Sunday school, learn some more. Meet with another lady, learn some more. So we don't expect that all of you would understand all of this fully all the time. But just briefly, these are the basic doctrines of the Christian faith. These are what we believe about these things separates us from all the false religions. So you have bibliology. Any guesses? The study of?
The Bible.
The Bible, God's word. Theology, the study of? God, Theo being the root of God. Theology proper. I was asking Mark when I looked at this list, where does like creation fall into this list? There's not a creationology. He said it would fall under theology, the study of God and his creation. It was just the one I thought of off my head, but everything fits under these. Christology would be study of Christ. Pneumatology. Now you might figure this out by the order they're written in, but you know what pneumatology means? That's right, the study of the Holy Spirit. Pneuma is the breath, I believe, breathed out. The next one, anthropology, is the study of man. How about harmartiology? Sin, that's right, the study of sin. What do we need to know about sin? So there's a lot right here that you needed to know at salvation. Why do I even need Christ? Who is this Christ? Christology. Soteriology. Salvation. The study of salvation. Angelology. No fancy other word there. The study of angels. We need to know what we believe about that. Because there's a lot of mystic thoughts out there about what angels can and can't do. And what you may or may not be someday when you die. Ecclesiology. Study of the church, the ecclesia. And eschatology, another fancy word. Study of end times, that's right. And there are some of these that we can differ on, like eschatology, and still all be headed to heaven. But there are some that we cannot differ on, or we are not true believers. Those are the doctrines that separate us from the other religions that are out there. And if you looked in Addendum A, you would have seen some of these other words that are doctrines, like justification. Back in Addendum A at the back, she goes into what is justification? What is sanctification? Propitiation. I got to teach that to the Kids for Truth kids 1 week. Whoa! Still wrapping my brain around it. Adoption, redemption, and imputation. So we have the ologies, we have the shuns that are in Addendum A, and then Addendum B, she went into doctrines concerning Jesus, sin, and assurance of salvation. Some other religions have no assurance of salvation. So how do we know what we believe? She gives the scriptures in there. And if you use the pages of this book, these addendums that are in here as a resource, which is the main change from the original edition, are these addendums. So she gave you these addendums to help you when you're talking with other people. You need to know if the lady you're meeting with is even a believer. Are you assuming she is? Have you listened to her testimony? When we listen to people's testimony, we can hear some of these things in there. We should be able to hear those shun words, not said that way, but a woman would be explaining her justification, how she was justified. She won't use that word, but It should be in there in the testimony. So you want to be listening to these truths as you're talking with one another. Are we saying the right things? Are we speaking actual truth? Do we know what we believe? And like I said, we wouldn't expect you to have all of this perfectly laid out in your brain all the time. But sometimes the Lord will send you off to go study something because something comes up. Even today, you might be saying, wow, I really need to go spend some more time on soteriology and my sanctification. My salvation. I need to be more equipped to know how to evangelize. Can I even lay that out for someone? How one is saved? Or have I moved so far away from that I can't even convey it anymore? Last week, we talked about God's priorities for us. And I just want to review that because we need to know our doctrines, but you can get by your Christian life without, you know, having like this firm belief on eschatology. But there are other things that you do need to be walking out every single day, that you do need to be living doctrinally by. And last week we talked about what are those priorities for you. So your faith, your Christianness, so to speak, is built on these doctrines. But it's also important that you are prioritizing, one, knowing that you're saved. So we talked about that as well last week. Am I saved according to truth? If I am a Christian in that circle, we had the bullseye, the rings of influence. The second thing is we need to be obeying the commands as a Christian to honor God. So that is your priority. Am I living according to what God describes for all Christians, men, women? Second, you need to be knowing what God commands to women, specifically. You're a woman next. And I went over that thoroughly last time. If you didn't hear that, it's on the recording. What are all the commands in Scripture concerning women? Are you practicing those things? Because we talked about the struggle when women are constantly studying the Bible and all these random books, but never looking at the Scripture on women. Because we don't want to study about submitting to our husbands. That's not fun. I'd rather go study Daniel and his prophecies. And, you know, that's way more fun, so to speak. But we need to know, what are we as women commanded to do and be, whether single or married or widowed, in light of God's word? Also, if you have been given the privilege of being a wife or a mother in this time, are you obeying the commands for wives? Are you obeying the doctrine and commands of being a mother? What does God say about that? Do you know that so that you can honor him? This is how we show what we believe in our wifing, in our mothering, in our Christian womaning. I know I'm making up words, but next, how are you obeying, caring for, respecting, and honoring your parents, your in-laws, those that are older than you? Are you treating older women as mothers, older men as fathers? How are you obeying the government? If we just post rude words all over social media about the government, we're not living out what the Bible calls us to. Do we know that? Are we living in light of that? Are you caring for your home or, say you're a young single gal, your space, your allotted space in life, your dorm room, whatever it may be? Are you caring for your home or your allotted space as the Word of God would explain to you? Are you serving the church as commanded by God, using your gifts among the body? It's not an option. God gave each of us a gift to use in the body, and sometimes it changes. And sometimes there's seasons where you can do more and seasons where you can do less, seasons where you can do none. But is your goal always to be serving where you can, where God allows, in the body, to build it up and to be pouring out? Are you glorifying God and enjoying him forever? The first catechism question. That would be overarching all these things. So as far as doctrine, there are just a couple more things I wanted to highlight. My iPad jumped. I hate when it does that. I was listening to a sermon by Whitney Oxford, who is over at Grace Emanuel, and he said, what we believe is foundational to how we live. Doctrine without godliness is toxic. So you can memorize this book, but if it doesn't change your heart, then it's just head knowledge. And the Bible tells us that to just build up knowledge is to be, you're going to be proud. You're going to stumble. Also, Nancy Wolgema says, you cannot have life without sound doctrine, and you cannot have sound doctrine without life. So ladies, even this book is not just for the pastors. It is for all of us in different times in our lives when God allows time for deeper study, whatever it may be. But we need to be sure that our life and our doctrine are constantly matching up, that we're living out the truth of God's word. Sound morality, the character traits we're going to talk about, is based on knowing who God is. We're living to be like him, to be holy like him. So we have to know what he's like, doctrine, and live it out, character. So they're going hand in hand. And my husband brought some really clarifying truth when we were talking about these things with some of the women in the past. Well, why is this not just behaviorism? If we're just working on our character or like really striving after fruit of the Spirit in our lives, why is it not just anyone can do this? It's just behaviorism. And it's because you are living as a believer within faith with the aid of the Holy Spirit. There's a difference between just a moral person, your next door neighbor, and you with God's Spirit enabling you to live out these truths that you know. So you're living through grace by faith for the glory and honor of God. It's all for him. It's not just so you look good at church or you look good in the neighborhood. That would be behaviorism, changing for what other people look at. That would not be our goal at all. So again, what we believe greatly affects how we live. And the world is calling you very loudly away from doctrine. It's distracting you away from right character. We live very different than even the saints of old. Sometimes I ask myself, how would I live differently if I was in Bible times or if I was in, you know, England during the Reformation? How would my life look differently? Would I be allowing this in my life? Also, the Christian bookstore, the bestseller list, these things are calling out to us. They're telling us things are Christian that are not, that are directly against the Word of God. We have to be discerning. And the way to drown out this loud noise of the world and the Christian bookstore is by filling your mind with truth. Your mind, your heart, your ears, what you listen to, your eyes, what you look at and read, even on the internet. And I really like what Susan Hunt says in this book, Spiritual Mothering, that Cheryl and I have been reading alongside this book right now. I'm going to read some of it to you later, but she says in here that a well-defined system of doctrine protects us from false teaching. Women, we are easily deceived. The Bible tells us that. So we must, one, believe that we are more easily deceived and that we need to know doctrine to not be so deceived. So we need to know what we believe. You can find what Saving Grace Bible Church stands on. It's on the website. It's out there in the literature rack. What we believe. What's our philosophy of ministry? What do we teach? What makes us different from the other churches in the area? And if we don't, oh my goodness, it keeps jumping. I don't know what I'm doing. But if we don't pursue knowing and living what we believe, we may malign the Word of God, and that maligns God himself. We don't want to do that. I know that's not your heart. So we need to know at least in little bits, all of this, if not more, what we truly believe and why. The other good thing to keep in mind is that sound doctrine keeps the older women who are called to teach the younger women. Sound doctrine will keep older women from being tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, there we have the world, the books, the media, and by craftiness in deceitfulness. That's from Ephesians 4:14. Sound doctrine keeps us on track and helps us avoid, listen to these two things, rigid legalism and loose liberalism. We don't want either of those things. So this doctrine, what we believe, keeps us from rigid legalism and loose liberalism. Proper expounding of the text. Not just, oh, I've always believed this, I was always taught that, but is it true? Is that verse you love actually about that? We need to know that. Sound doctrine will produce the stability that is essential for us as we are spiritual mothers to one another. And let me encourage you. We're going to talk about this next time we meet, about how this walks out, doctrine, character, ministry, with when you meet with, not officially, but when you meet or when you talk with younger women, your daughters, even someone older than you, but maybe spiritually less mature. Where do we start? How does this come into, you know, our conversations with one another? You know, a lot of times I notice we talk a lot with each other about the goodness of God, his provision, and that's great. That's exactly what I'm talking about. When we're talking about the character of God, live it out in our lives, how he's working on us, training us. And one of the first things you can talk to any woman in the church about is what you sat under in the sermon on Sunday. Yeah. So you have at least one thing every week that you can say, what'd you think about, and the sermon, because we know that is doctrine that we would agree with, since we're all here together at this church. Ask another woman or a younger woman how she applied last week's sermon in her life. You can also, I have another freebie for you. So the sermon of the week, or just open to Titus 2, any old time. How's it going, loving your husband? How's it going with your children? You'll be there for a very long time. So we need this all the time. And even this Titus 2 passage is like a temperature, a thermometer. You stick that in someone's mouth, so to speak, and you'll get a gauge on how their spiritual life is doing, how their sanctification is doing, based on Titus 2, 3 through 5. There is plenty for us to work on. And you can work on weak areas together with your daughters. Oh, big accountability there. With your sisters in Christ in church, or with that new believer that you met at the beach and she became saved and now you're meeting with her. Some other things, I suppose I should have saved these for next week, but we'll see what the Lord's going to bring to us next time. But there's a reason we use this in our church. This starts with Bible doctrine. And from chapter 1, you will find out if someone is a believer by what when they write their testimony. And then the rest of the study goes on to cover knowledge of God, studying the Bible on your own, your prayer life, living by the Holy Spirit, a good church, biblical fellowship, serving your church and spiritual gifts, evangelism, and living holy in an unholy world. So that's why we start a lot of discipleship in our church on this book, because it walks through the basic doctrines we need to be living righteously today.
What ministry is that comes from?
It's Focal Point. You have to order it from that site. Yeah. But then there's another one from John MacArthur called Fundamentals of the Faith. And some ladies have told me this one's even a little simpler. It's a little smaller. The thing I love about Fundamentals of the Faith is that it starts with the books of the Bible and just even listing, these are the history books, the poetry books, the prophets. Someone who's never known the scripture, this is a great place to start. What is this giant book? Where do I start? Do I start at the beginning, the middle? What do I need to do? And so this book has 10 chapters. This one has 13. They cover a lot of the exact same things.
Would that book be good for working with children?
Yep. In fact, when I got distracted there for a second because I opened it and it said Sarah Ragg. and I got it off Mark's shelf, so that was funny. But he's going through these books right now in his preparation for our church having our own. That's what he's doing on Sunday nights, is walking us through these basic truths. But Fundamentals of the Faith also covers, in more in depth than Partners, on Jesus Christ, Bible facts, just talked about, and God's will, how to know God's will. So those are some great places. If a young woman says to you, will you meet with me? Sure, let's start with one of these, you know?
So, the teacher's manual with the fundamentals.
Yeah, yeah, there's a teacher's manual with all the answers written in.
Yeah. Well, there's well, it makes it really expand. Yeah. Go ahead, Janet. You
first. Janet does it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because it really expounds on the lesson and the answers.
Right.
So you're giving them so much more
than you might even have in your own well, is what you're saying, right?
Well,
yeah.
Yeah, it takes it a whole different direction.
Yes.
Because then you'll find out why the book of John, why the...
Excellent.
That and the other.
Yeah, so there are resources for you. We're not just setting you out on your own little boat with this woman or your daughter with like, oh, I don't know where to start. Start in one of these places that we've talked about.
Or even two ladies getting together, right?
Right, right.
At the same level.
That's right. Yes. So all that to say, and to summarize together, doctrine is the bedrock of our life that we're building on. And then our character becomes the house that, you know, others can see. What is the fleshing out of that doctrine in our lives? So the second thing Martha talked about was character. And you can definitely see that in the Titus passage. We have what a woman of God looks like in her speech, her actions, her life in the hardest place, relationships. our deeds that reflect our Savior to all. Character refers to our godliness. As Jerry Ragg's book says, we are free to be holy. He has given us what we need for all things in life and godliness, according to his word. So character, when we're talking to one another about character, we're listening and offering up possibly, like, I'm thinking about this wrong. Help me think about this. So we want to be correcting our wrong thinking in light of God's word that we can live in a more godly way. We want to be putting off that foolishness that's rampantly described in Proverbs and putting on wisdom. We have a whole section of the Bible called wisdom literature. We definitely need it. The word of God helps us identify heart issues and learn what to put off and what to put on. We can't just put off because we'll just slide back into it. We have to put something in its place. Putting on character through the Spirit, all through his help. You cannot achieve these things I'm talking about on your own. So we need to be growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, as seen in Titus 2, 3 through 5. And character can be built in us before we're saved. I mean, we parents, we are trying to build character habits in our children, even though they are unbelievers. So there's a lot of character traits that you gained, positively or negatively, just being a child and growing up, even before you were saved. So there are some aspects of habits. Habits are a gift from God, right? Negative, you know, bad habits, But the idea of habits is a gift from God. And there are things that you could have started as a child because your parents taught you or pushed you towards rightly, things that you should be practicing. And so there's two aspects to the character traits. You have your positional sanctification at Christ, at the cross. When you became a believer, you were granted the new man. So you now have God's power within you, the Holy Spirit given to you as a seal and a pledge and a helper. Just like we were created to be man's helper, God then gives us a helper as well at salvation. But then there's also the ongoing work of sanctification. The ongoing work of the Holy Spirit. Turn over to 2 Peter 1, if you will. Second Peter 1, verses 3 through 8. For his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. That's the be holy as he is holy part. Having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness, steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of God, of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. So the Lord has made a way for our character to be shaped through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now flip over to 1 Corinthians 16. This impacted my mind so much at the end of our Bite and Devour study. The literal, like, last half hour of our discussion time, seeing 1 Corinthians 16, 13, and 14. It says, "Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, and be strong. Let all that you do be done in love." Well, I've got this verse in my kitchen. Let all that you do be done in love. But right before it, he gives these really strong commands as well. And I love what John MacArthur says. He says, "Love complements and balances and keeps us from becoming crusty, militant, and hard." Look at verse 13. Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. That's crusty, militant, and hard if that's all you do. Let all that you do, those things, be done in love. MacArthur adds on, love is the beautiful softening principle. It keeps our firmness from becoming hardness, our strength from becoming domineering. It keeps our maturity gentle and considerate. It keeps our right doctrine from becoming obstinate dogmatism. That's why I brought this up today. And it keeps our right living from becoming smug self-righteousness. Aren't we prone to these things? Let all that we do be done in love. And you can turn back three chapters and see what love is supposed to be and what it's not supposed to be. Paul's continuing that point. So we see from 2 Peter, 1 Corinthians 16, some of the traits that God is calling us to in our character. And when my children were smaller, we spent 2 years going through this one little workbook on character qualities. Probably the best 2 years that I remember. We would talk about the definition of the character quality. We would look at verses and memorize the verse that proved the character quality was godly from the Bible. And then there were scenarios. They would say, there would be like three scenarios for the children to walk through. You're in your room, your brother comes in, he hits you in the head. What do? You know, based on that character quality that was taught. It was fabulous. So I highly recommend that if you're training young sinners. But a lot of these were the same ones that were in there. Cheryl Supple sent me an online article I can also refer you to that has this list. I don't expect you to write all this down unless you already did. Take a picture. There you go. Or I can send you, Cheryl, or I could send you the list if you want a copy of it at home. But what I loved about this article that Cheryl sent me was it not only talked about the character trait, it gave the opposite. Because sometimes we can see that alertness, what, you know? No, what's the opposite? Am I living the opposite, which would be unawareness? The Bible tells us to be alert, stand firm. Your enemy, the devil, walks around like prowling like a lion. So that's how we know that we need to be alert to certain things in our spiritual walk. So I'm just going to read through the opposites. And if I read a character trait or an opposite that strikes you, just write that one down. So, and then all the verses are in this article if you want to go look at it or if you want to look up that parenting one, character trait. I forget the name of it, character concepts. So alertness versus unawareness. Attentiveness versus unconcern. Availability versus self-centeredness. Boldness versus fearfulness. Cautiousness versus rashness. Compassion versus indifference. Contentment versus covetousness. Creativity versus underachievement. Decisiveness versus double-mindedness. Deference to others versus rudeness. Dependability versus inconsistency. Determination versus faint-heartedness. Diligence versus slothfulness. See Proverbs. You can't walk away from Proverbs and not realize how the Lord wants us to work. Sorry. Side there, especially Proverbs 31. Discernment versus judgment. Discretion versus simple-mindedness. Endurance versus giving up. Enthusiasm versus apathy. Faith versus presumption, flexibility versus resistance, forgiveness versus rejection, generosity versus stinginess, gentleness versus harshness, gratefulness versus unthankfulness, hospitality versus loneliness, humility versus pride, initiative versus unresponsiveness, joyfulness versus self-pity, justice versus fairness, love versus selfishness, loyalty versus unfaithfulness, meekness versus anger, obedience versus willfulness, orderliness versus disorganization, patience versus restlessness, persuasiveness versus contentiousness, punctuality versus tardiness, resourcefulness versus wastefulness, responsibility versus unreliability, reverence versus disrespect, security versus anxiety, self-control versus self-indulgence, sensitivity versus callousness, sincerity versus hypocrisy, thoroughness versus incompleteness, thriftiness versus extravagance, tolerance versus prejudice, truthfulness versus deception, virtue versus impurity, and wisdom versus natural inclinations. Keep in mind, if you're struggling with any of these, one of the best ways that you'll learn it is by teaching it to someone else or walking through it with someone else, getting an accountability partner, someone older than you, to help you. So if I'm really struggling with something, I need to start talking about it with my children, giving myself that opportunity, talking to an older woman and asking her to help me. And that is God's gift to us, to help us in our character. Iron sharpens iron. It's going to hurt. It's hot. It's painful when you picture metal on metal, but it's going to produce the righteousness of God and deepen. Your relationships will be so deep as you walk through the Christian life together. True friends must be stirring one another up in prayers and Bible study and thinking right thoughts and being in the Word of God and encouraging each other in these things. And then briefly at the end, ministry. We are to talk with other women about doctrine, about character, and about ministry. What are your primary ministries? We talked about these in the priorities last week. Your service to your family. If you're a daughter, then in your home with your parents. If you're single, in those roommates, in the your family where they live outside of you. Your ministry is to the women in the church as well. Titus 2 tells us that. What are women primarily to be doing in the church? Older women, teach the younger women how to be. Younger women, you have to be practicing what it says the older women have to be before you're an older woman. So it's all for both of us. Older women and younger women are obeying all the commands for older and younger women. And then ministry is also any other way we can help the body of Christ grow as a whole, corporately, the men, the children, the babies, everybody, the trash, the grass, everything comes together as ministry for God. And why is this important? Why should we be talking to our children, our first disciples, or our friends or people we meet with, older and younger, about ministry? Here's the problem. If you come here week after week and all you do is take in, take in, take in, take in, and you're never giving out, your love for the body is not going to grow. And let all that you do be done in love is not true of you. You can't just sit and take in and it all be about you growing. The Bible commands us to be pouring into each other's lives. And you need to be growing in your love for the body. And the body of Christ needs you to move. God said, each local body, so Saving Grace Bible Church, our local body will be handicapped if you are not a part of it. The Bible is clear about that to us. I don't want to be the reason that our church is handicapped. You shouldn't want to be the reason why something is handicapped. Now, sometimes you're only being ministered to because of physical or financial or whatever trials God has in your life, and he's pruning the rest of us as we bless you. And what are you learning? How to accept graciously. So we're still all working together, and he is using that perfectly in his divine way. There should be no deadness or apathy between the women at Saving Grace Bible Church. Our relationships are called to flourish, according to Titus 2. And I am going to read from the Spiritual Mothering book about what we are teaching each other, teaching the younger women that God has provided to us or our daughters. And she says, how do we teach this curriculum, doctrine, character, ministry? According to Scripture, the curriculum that parents are to teach their children is not found on the pages of a textbook and is not taught at 7 a.m. The curriculum is a way of life based on biblical truth. You are to teach them diligently to your children when? Talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. In a similar fashion, the spiritual mothering curriculum is to be impressed on younger women through a textbook? Maybe, sometimes. But sometimes, as you prepare the potluck together at church, as you make blankets for the home for unwed mothers, as you sort clothes for the homeless shelter, as you talk about how to maintain a devotional life with three preschoolers competing for your attention, your children, as you walk through the factory making deliveries or into the courtroom to defend a client. Elizabeth Elliot was only 14 when she was introduced to Amy Carmichael, not in person. The headmistress of the school she attended often quoted from Carmichael's books. Elizabeth Elliot says, I was captivated and told her so. She lent me all the books. Amy Carmichael became for me what now some call a role model. She was far more than that. She was my first spiritual mother. She showed me the shape of godliness. Spiritual mothering has more to do with demonstrating the shape of godliness than with teaching lesson plans. Spiritual mothering can happen in individual relationships and in groups. Louise tells us how she came out of her shell of shyness when she became involved in our weekly women's Bible study. Sharing and praying in small groups, being paired as prayer partners with older and younger women, laughing and crying together has been wonderful. As I have learned to open up to other women, I feel like a flower just beginning to open its petals. I have confidence now to reach out to others. I am experiencing the excitement of being used by my Lord to serve him. Ladies, you're here today and you're already doing that just by being here. You older women are encouraging my heart that you're in this room right now. You younger women growing and wanting to glean from the older women right now while you're here. And so there are times for the lesson plans laid out for us when we need something to hold our hands or when doctrine needs to be covered. But a lot of it is just living our lives. And I think all of you would agree to that. You're watching each other. You're observing, wow, why is that younger woman so spiritually mature? How has she gotten that way? Wow, look at that older woman, how she serves so silently. Or that person who never complains. What's their secret? You know, we're watching each other. We're already life on life. And I love that example in there of the shy gal who came to women's Bible study. And in the little prayer groups, in the teaching time, started to flourish. This is Titus 2. So I want you to look in the book at the questions. We already covered question 1, which was pretty basic, which is why we added some other questions for you. So question 2 was defining the term doctrine. Who would like to define that? Be brave. What's doctrine?
What the Bible teaches about a certain subject.
Good. Yep. And what we believe about it.
I liked Nick, your Nancy.
Right. About life and doctrine going hand in hand. So you had a personal question there. Do you consider yourself to be doctrinally mature? Some of you might say, no. Some of you might say, kind of, or I'm getting there, or, you know, the Lord has faithfully taught me a lot. but there's always more to learn. We're all at different places, and there's no shame in that unless we stay there and we never change. What are some remedies to the situation, ladies? What have you been doing to grow doctrinally?
Be in the Word more.
Be in the Word more?
Ask questions.
Ask questions. That's right. The pastors love when you ask questions.
Sit under sound teaching.
That's right. Some of you have been hopping around this town listening to unsound doctrine, right? And you're like, your soul says, this is not satisfying. This is not the truth. And I know a lot of you have come from that and landed here. And like, oh, your soul just like rejoices. Okay, this I can trust. Still be a Berean. Trust but verify, Ronald Reagan said. This is a Berean modern quote. Okay, question 3. Take a few minutes to think about the areas in your character in which God desires to mature you. List them here. Raise your hand if you listed them. Did you do the work? Okay, good. Most of you did. How many of you have more than 5 listed there? Okay. 1 or 2. Raise your hand, just 1 or 2 you wrote down. Those are all good answers. You're good. I was just curious. Some of us, you know, we're like, everything, you know. Some of us are like, you know, Lord has really made this one clear to me. I remember when I was in seminary wives, fellowship, this one gal in my group says, I've determined for this year that I'm going to work on one main thing in my life every month of the year. So I'll learn 12 things I'll work on this year. It's like, what a great idea, you know? So I appreciated her saying that to me. Okay, if I would just work on availability this month and just make myself available for whatever the Lord brings to me to do for him, to reach out to others, to serve at church, I'm going to work on that and find the joy that God brings in focusing in on that one thing this month. So that's just an example I wanted to share with you. Make a list of the ways in which you are serving the Lord. Hopefully the first one you wrote was indeed your home and family. That is what God calls you to foremost. So him, you're serving him by learning about him. You're serving him in your home and your family. But then I hope there's also something written there for Saving Grace Bible Church, your local body that you are serving. Is it even prayer? Is that all you're able to do right now? Are you doing it? Are you praying for the leaders, for the body, mm-hmm. for all the decisions that are on the table right now with our church? Are you available to help in any other way to serve the body? Are you trying something you've never tried before and seeing if the Lord's going to work through it or if he's going to steer you a different direction? I think I've shared the example before where Jerry Ragg preached on just go try something. And my friend went up to junior high ministry, and she was there for 3 weeks. She's like, no, I can't do it. It's not for everybody. Right, Lisa? It's not for everybody. But is there something? Is there something that you're doing to serve the Lord? Question 5. The Lord said, Jesus said in John 15:8, by this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. In order for you to bear fruit, what must happen first, ladies? Pruned. Ugh, that kind of hurts. Do you see God pruning at all? Are you aware of the areas you need to grow? Are you aware of the sin? But, you know, I was looking through this passage. He says prune once, but then he says another word 5 times. Did you notice that word?
Abide.
That's right. I think we need to review why youth camp is called Abide. Pretty sure it's coming from right here. So he prunes, and what are we to do? We need to abide in him, grow in him, in here. This is the mind of God. We need to know what it is and abide in it. Pray and ask God to prune you so you may bear fruit for him. So those were the book questions. The other questions that you have on the extra sheet. We have a whole stack over here, so if you don't have 10 yet, go ahead and grab them today on your way out. You need to do this every week. I know it's a little painful, a little scary. If you don't know an answer, I was telling some ladies this morning, just leave it blank and write down what's discussed here. We can hear each other's ideas and get our creative juices flowing, but doctrine. What doctrinal principle did you learn or put into practice this week? Would someone like to share the answer, please?
Well, for me it was sanctification. Just laying aside all of those things that I am supposed to be dead to now.
Mm.
All of those sins.
Good.
Impurity and greed, and which is unto idolatry.
Yeah. We can be so deceived that those things aren't in our lives anymore when they are. They're just not as obvious in our pre-saved life. Lucy, were you going to share something?
Yeah, I was just going to say that John 15:5 verse about abiding, something I've been spending a lot of time dwelling on in the last week, is abiding in the Lord and asking Him to reveal sin, so that it can be turned away.
Mm-hmm.
And waiting for it to come up, but being
proactive. Oh, mm-hmm. Good. That's hard, huh? Kim?
For me, this week and lately, it's grace, because we're learning about it in church.
Uh-huh.
And my kids and I are doing Proverbs right now, and also 31 Days of Praise, a little book that goes, well, not with Proverbs, but just 31 Days of Praise.
Uh-huh.
The growing in grace as God has lavished on me to lavish on others, which is hardest in the home.
Mm-hmm. Most tested in the home, right? These people who know us so well know our buttons. That's right. I found just keeping these three things in mind is super helpful. You know, sometimes I'll meet with people and we'll just be talking about whatever and I'll leave and I'll be like, why did I never get into this or that? Just keeping three things in mind, super helpful. Doctrine, character, ministry. Doctrine, character, ministry. So how do these truths from this lesson help you become more God-centered and less man-centered, or confront your sin and idolatries? Or reveal a temporal mindset instead of an eternal mindset? Someone want to share?
Well, this is why I pulled up this list. I found it's too easy sometimes to just look at two parts of my character that I might want to look at and not look at it fully. And what it looks like in ugliness, but what it should look like in God's holiness. And so I had to pull up that list because I'm like, oh, I'm writing in this Bible study the same thing, this one the same thing. Aren't I cute? I'm only bad this area.
Or you find an old journal and you realize you were working on it 10 years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, so I wanted to.
I was talking about me.
So that list was to open my eyes, and I asked my family. A long list.
There's a painful one. No, last week we talked about sharing our priority list with our husband or pastor.
Yeah.
This week, it's that. Hey, family, what do you see in my character? You see any of these lacking? Ouch.
I see Rosie's way over there.
Some of us have built-in accountability teenagers.
Yes.
Mine will be here tomorrow night. Don't you worry. Anyone else? Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, so the character of being worried about things, and so you're reminded, you know, heaven, how do I set my mind on heaven? And so a maternal mindset would be directing your conversations with people, right? My eternal mindset leads me to think about doctrine, character and ministry in my conversations with ladies on Sunday morning, instead of just what's for lunch or what'd you do this week, you know, those things that are easy to talk about. We need to be talking about the weightier matters that affect eternity, our souls. Now, it's okay to plan lunch, of course. So we all these things we have to keep in the balance. Number three, what effect does it have if you do or do not believe these truths? Now, this week was about truth in general. So if you obey or disobey these, what is the danger to your soul if you do not believe them? So what are some dangers if we never talk about doctrine, character, and ministry with each other?
We won't grow.
Personally or in relationships?
Spiritually.
Right, if we don't believe these things?
You know, I think that the one thing that struck me in this chapter was the question, are you mature? You know, and I thought back 10, 12 years ago, I would have probably said yes. And now when I look back at that person of 10 years ago, I've come so far. And I realize that 10 years from now, I'll probably look back at this person and realize, I didn't have my act together yet, you know? So it's a process, and it's growing, and...
I think about the older people who were pouring into my life when I was young and thought I was mature, just how patient they were, how patient they are, still.
Joe, Lewis, you're still young.
That's right.
It's all relevant.
I'm a middle. Yes. You're right.
Just realizing it's a process, and that if we ignore these things, the process will stop or stagnate or stall. Or
yeah. Good. Who else was going to say something? Ladies over here. Bobby?
Back to that question? Or?
Yeah, yeah. Question three.
Peace versus turmoil, consequences, spiritually distracting.
Yeah. Good stuff.
I was just commenting that at my lunch yesterday, I have children older than everyone that was there. So that was a little eye-opener.
Yeah, yeah. If we don't believe these things, we are going to be disobedient. If we don't speak these things to one another, we're going to have weak relationships with each other. Just surfacey, temporal. Our church is going to be weak if we don't believe these things. Our church, our lives, our relationships are going to be a very dim light to the world. So there is a big effect. Write out some specific questions from the truths of this chapter that you could ask a younger in age or spiritual walk Titus 2 woman who is or will one day be in your life. What are some questions? Just popcorn them out.
What do you think is hindering you from maturing
right now? That's a good one. What do you think is hindering you from maturing right now? What if we asked that question during prayer groups today? What else?
What difference does it matter what you believe?
Doctrinal question. What else?
To whom could you be entitled to a woman?
Great. What else?
How are you practically serving in the church?
Yeah. The word of God stands behind that question. You are to be a part of the moving body of Christ. Are we talking to each other about it? Is it the same people doing everything in the church all the time? Why? You could ask, what doctrine do you feel you don't know very well that we could study together? Just ask them to offer one. You know, I hear a lot of people say, I really want to work on evangelism. You know, like, I need to be ready to give an account for the hope that's within me. Well, let's do it together. For me, it was memorization. I wanted to memorize and know God's word better and in the full picture. And so that's the next one, which is memorization. So there was some confusion on this week. You get to choose whatever you need, ladies. Personalize this Bible study. What verse did you read this week or did you run across or from the sermon that you could memorize, meditate on, study every day, even if you didn't get it memorized? Is there one that you could work on all week? Did anyone want to share just the reference? What have you been meditating on? John 15, 5.
Colossians 3.
Sorry. What did you say, Lisa?
I said Psalm 73.
Psalm 73. What is in that psalm particularly?
I was just thinking about it when, I think when Eric was gone last week, I read it every day, and I was trying to explain it to my kids, which when they're that little, it's like...
It's like teaching it to a herd of cats, right?
But just the, like, eternal perspective of, when you get discouraged, and then if you look around and you think, you know, like, you see the prosperity of people who are wicked, and you feel you don't have that right perspective of they, here's what their end actually is,
mm-hmm.
your end is. And, like, I just love the transparency of that psalm where he's like, my feet almost stumbled, you know, I almost slipped, but like, God was the one. I went to the sanctuary of God, and I saw God, and then that reoriented my perspective.
Great.
So it was really helpful.
Thank you. Bobby?
1 John 2, 15-17, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes and pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world, and the world is passing away.
That's great.
So it kind of ties in everything else that I put there.
Yeah. I knew a dad who taught that verse to his kids, and it was 1, 2, and 3. So lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, boastful pride of life. And he could just be like, he knew what he was talking about, what you're struggling with. It was like all, most of them. But what a, you know, like these are the practical things we can be teaching and sharing with each other. So helpful. So that's a fabulous passage, Bobby. Did you share one, Edie?
The Colossians 3, 5
uh-huh.
to 10, actually.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so I just started... memorization challenge for the book of Colossians 3. If anyone wants to join, I have an online group. But I hear Lance Quinn, who was my Sunday school teacher, he read the chapter, the whole chapter, every week, the whole time he taught the chapter. So when I hear Colossians 3, I hear Lance Quinn in my head. what a great idea. We were reading Titus 2 every time when we got together. I should think about that.
I was learning that when I got fired from a job.
You were learning that chapter. Set your mind on things above. Where Christ is, that's right. So if you find a verse this week to work on and you want the accountability, if you're like me, you need that weekly, I have to say it on Wednesday. Rose has agreed to sit in the other room and listen to you. And no one went in there today, so I went and asked her what her verse was. And she did a very good job. So... challenge yourself to be memorizing God's word and hiding it in your heart so that you might not sin against him. And then I hope that you were able to write out a prayer for yourself and that you were able to pray for another woman that you know of. Whether she knows you're praying for her, whether you meet with her officially or not, you can always be praying for someone else specifically and see God move specifically. So... let us close in prayer, and then Cheryl is going to come up, and we had to rearrange the prayer groups a little bit, tried to keep them together, but we had some changes, so Cheryl's just going to announce those, and you guys can just go to the six corners or whatever we have.
The ends of the year.
Let's pray. Gracious Father, we are so thankful for your truth, Lord God. We're thankful for the truths that brought us to become your daughters. We're thankful for the light that you have given us that we do not deserve to understand these things. When before the Bible was nonsense to us, Lord, you have made it clear. Lord, I pray that we would be spending our moments, our hours, our days, weeks, months, years, just constantly seeking to know you more, Lord, that we may be like you and like your Son. May we reflect to the world, daughters of the King, who exemplify his character, your character, Lord God. And may we not be overwhelmed, but may we moment by moment, bit by bit, be seeking to know you, to love you, and to serve others through that power. May you be glorified and honored through the women of Saving Grace Bible Church as we seek to love one another, to love the men and children of our church, and just to let all that we do be done in love. In Christ's name we pray, amen.